The start of here we are. We stand at the beginning of a new year, don't we? And we don't know what will happen in 2024. And we don't know what will happen in our own lives. And we don't know what will happen to us as a church. But we do know that Jesus is on the throne. We do know that Jesus wears the crown, that he is in control. And we're going to encourage one another and acknowledge that in our opening song, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, "I follow Paul," another, "I follow Apollos," another, "I follow Cephas," still another, "I follow Christ." Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. But Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of the Lord.
The last verse of that reading is our motto verse for 2024. I hope you've got one of those cards on the table there somewhere. Look that out. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So, can someone tell me who those words were first written to? Were these words first written to? The Corinthians, yes. Miles, anything to add to that? Was all the people of Corinth? It was specifically to the church of Corinth. You see that verse 2? To the church of God in Corinth. So not everybody in Corinth, but to the church in Corinth. And just have a look at verses 10 to 12, the start of our reading there. What was happening in this church? What was going on? Verses 10 to 12.
Division.
Divisions, that's right. All sorts of falling out. They were splitting into little groups. They were following the attitude of the world in the way that they were treating one another. And Paul is writing this letter to tackle those problems, to get them back on track as a church. But he doesn't just say, be nice to each other, or stop falling out with each other. Here he is tackling these problems by talking about the death of Jesus, the message of the cross. And basically, he's saying to these Christians, you've all been saved through the message of the cross. You've all been saved in exactly the same way. So why on earth are you splitting into different groups? Why are you thinking some of you are better than others when you've all been saved in the same way? So here's the first thing that this motto there says to us. However long we've been Christians, let's stick with the message of the cross. Yes, we begin the Christian life by relying on Jesus, his death taking the penalty for our sin, but it's not just the starting point that is then something that we leave behind. Here's Paul tackling the problems in this church, And he does it with a message of the cross. It's not something to be left behind. Paul wants the message of the cross to go on shaping them, to go on shaping how they treat each other. Well, here's a good reason then for having this verse as our motto for 2024. If you remember this verse in 2024, if you put it on your screensaver or wherever, it might just help us not to move away from the message of the cross in the year ahead. Every day as a Christian, I go on relying on the death of Jesus, because I don't stop being a sinner who has been forgiven. So every day I need the death of Jesus. Every day in 2024, that's what I'm going to be relying on. And more than that, as a Christian, the death of Jesus shapes how I see myself. An undeserving sinner, but now wonderfully loved and accepted. It shapes how I see my church family. My brothers and sisters, whom Jesus died for, just as he did for me. It's the death of Jesus, which is the battery pack for serving Jesus, when I remember what he has done for me. In all sorts of ways, the Christian sticks with the message of the cross. It's the foundation we come back to. It's the pattern we follow. It's the secret of our joy. It's the source of our identity. It's the spring of all that we do for Jesus, because he did this for me. My prayer is that having this as our motto verse for 2024 will help us as a church stick with the message of the cross. That verse talks about two groups of people, doesn't it? Two types of people. That's right. Talks about those who are perishing and us who are being saved. Those two groups of people. It's verse in two halves with a but in the middle, and those are the two halves of the verse. Are there any other sorts of people mentioned? No, there aren't, are there? Everybody is either perishing, heading for destruction, or being saved, being rescued. We divide people into all sorts of groups, don't we? Depending on maybe which school they go to, or what sort of a job they do, or what clothes they wear, or what football team they support. All sorts of different groups of people. But this verse is saying that there is only one division that really matters. Only one distinction of real significance. A person is either perishing or being saved. How are we going to see people in 2024? Well, the most significant thing about a person being that, as things stand at the moment, they are perishing. Or for that Christian brother or sister that maybe we find it a bit difficult to get on with, that they too are being saved. And what is it that divides these people into these two groups? What is it? What does our verse say that divides people into those two groups? The cross, that's right. Specifically, the message of the cross, or even more precisely, how people respond to the message of the cross. They hear the message of the cross, and what they think of it puts them in one half or the other. What about those who are perishing? What do they think of the message of the cross? Yes, dear.
They think it's nonsense.
They think it's nonsense, absolutely. And what about those who are, us who are being saved? What do we, what is our experience of the message of the cross? Yes, dear. They think it's real, yes? We do indeed, don't we? Yeah. But how is it described in our verse? What does our verse say about how we experience the message of the cross? I'm going to pick on somebody if I don't see some hands going up. Andrew, the power of God. So the message of the cross is like this, like a jar of Marmite. You either love it or hate it. Hands up if you love it. Hands up if you hate it. Okay. If you haven't put out your hand at all, either you've not woken up yet this morning, or you've never tasted Marmite, because you either love it or hate it. They actually use it, don't they, in their advertising. Normally, an advert is trying to get everybody to love their products. But the makers of Marmite, well, they face reality. They've said to themselves, some people are never going to like our product. They're always going to hate it. Well, let's just accept that. We're not going to change the recipe. We're not going to dilute the taste down, make it bland. People might not hate it if we do that, but they won't love it either. Let's use that to show that how special Marmite is. You either love it or you hate it. So our motto verse says to us, if we are proclaiming the message of the cross, if we are telling people about the death of Jesus, then we should expect to be treated as foolish. In 2024, we should expect people to say, you don't believe that, do you? We should expect people to make fun of us. We should expect to feel foolish as people dismiss our beliefs as narrow-minded or arrogant for saying Jesus' death is the only way to be saved. We should expect people to see his death as a tragic failure, or even worse. The well-known atheist Richard Dawkins says this about the death of Jesus, that he sees it as vicious, sadomasochistic, and repellent. And then he goes on to add, we should also dismiss it as barking mad. If God wanted to forgive our sins, why not just forgive them without having himself tortured and executed in payment? To him, it is foolishness. It should be no surprise that people do not like the message of the cross. After all, there is nothing which hurts the pride of people as much as the message of the cross. It tells us that we're helpless. It tells us that we can't save ourselves. Tells us that we are sinners deserving God's judgment. It tells us that we are lost. Have you ever thought why Jesus was hated and rejected? It is because he said that he came into this world to seek and to save the lost. That's the very thing that they hated him for. For being told that they were lost. The message of the cross burst the bubble of people's pride. They won't like it, and we will be treated as foolish. It's actually a very good test of whether the cross is being properly preached or not. If a non-Christian goes away saying, oh, how beautiful, what a moving tragedy, then the chances are the cross has not been preached. But if he goes away offended and upset, well, maybe then he has just heard the truth. So in 2024, if we are telling the message of the cross, you should expect to be laughed at. Don't be surprised by that. Don't be put off by that. Don't change the recipe. Don't turn it into just an example to follow when it's a wrath-bearing sacrifice. If you do, well, you won't be treated as foolish, that's sure, but it will no longer be the power of God for those who are being saved either.
Seat, please. What's the opposite of the word foolish?
Wise.
Wise, that's right. Opposite of foolishness is wisdom, isn't it? So in our verse, it says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. We might expect it to go on to say that it is the wisdom of God for those who are being saved. But it doesn't say that. It says it's the power of God for those who are being saved. Yes, Paul will later go on to say it is indeed the wisdom of God later in the chapter, but that's not where he begins. That's not what he wants to emphasize. He wants to say most clearly that the message of the cross is the powerful way that God saves people. Why? Well, I think it's because we can't save ourselves. People think they can, that if they try really hard, if they do their best, then they will be able to win God's favor. But we can't do it. We are powerless to deal with our sin and be put right with God. But where we are powerless, God is powerful. What we cannot do, God does through the message of the cross. And notice he doesn't say the cross is the power of God for salvation. He says the message of the cross is the power of God for those who are being saved. The death of Jesus by itself, 2,000 years ago, doesn't save anyone. It's the message of that death. It is the news of that death that saves people, which we find the message that we find here in the Bible. Let me put it like this. The gospel, the good news, is not just a record of what God has done to save us. Rather, the gospel itself is part of that saving work of God. It is how God brings people to salvation today. That's where spiritual power is to be found, in the message of the cross. Do you want to see people being saved in 2024? I hope you do. I hope you've got a list of people you're praying for. Well, that's only going to happen as they hear the message of the cross, as they hear the news of Jesus' death in their place, instead of them. Because that's the way God has chosen to rescue people. Now, I wonder if we believe that. I guess many of us will say, yes, I do believe that the message of the cross is God's powerful way to save people today. After all, it's the way which all of us, if we're Christians this morning, have been saved. It's the powerful way in which God rescued us from perishing. It's worked over and over and over again for every one of us. But if we're not telling this message to others,
then we're behaving as if we don't believe it, as if we're like unbelievers. We might sing about the power of the cross. We might say that it is the powerful way to save people. But if we're not looking to share this message when the time comes, then we're behaving like we don't believe it is. But it is the powerful way that God saved people. As we say, it's worked for you and it's worked for me. Let me make a prediction. Everyone who's going to become a Christian in 2024 will do so through the message of the cross. Nobody will become a Christian without it. So if we share God's concern for the perishing, that concern that sent Jesus into the world, then we will be doing all we can to share it with others. We'll be inviting people to meet up with us to read a gospel, because we know that that is the powerful message God uses to rescue people. We'll be busting a gut to take those Christianity Explored invites. Come along with me. Let's give it a try. We'll be passing on that Christmas Uncut book that's got stuck on the bedside table. We'll be inviting people to church any and every Sunday. We'll be looking for opportunities to share the message of the cross. We won't be put off if we're thought of as foolish. We'll say sorry to God when we miss an opportunity, and we'll ask him for boldness to do better next time. We'll make sure we know what we're going to say when the opportunity does come along. In 2024, let's stick with the message of the cross for ourselves, and let's share the message of the cross with others. Because it's the only thing which has the power to save the people of Wandsland in 2024.